Hello out there to all of our podcast listeners. This is Annette.
This is Kelly.
This is Shankara.
And this is Titania, and welcome to the lounge.
Thank you for joining us today here in the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, where we aspire to inspire other entrepreneurs.
Good evening and welcome to the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, everybody. I'm one of your co-hosts for this evening, Annette Gomez. And this evening, I'm being joined by Kelly Walker. Hey, Kel.
Hey, Ann.
Well, Kel, you know, this show is very special to us. We've dedicated this month to Black Lives Matter and the African American Mint, and we're closing out the month by shedding a light on faith and spirituality during these trying times. So today's topic is leading with faith over fear. So with that, let's introduce this evening's guest, Reverend Dr. Clement Goodwine. Hello, Dr. Goodwine.
Good morning, ladies. How are you? It is my pleasure to be on the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge with you today. God bless you.
Awesome. We're so glad to have you here, Doc. So let me brag on you a little bit, Doc. So Dr. Goodwine is a native Washingtonian. He is with the Southern Baptist Church Praise and Worship Center in Washington, D.C., where he's an instructor and also the Dean of Academic Affairs. He holds a degree in business administration with a master's degree in degree in religious education and a doctor of divinity in theology. And you can hear him weekly on the World Power Gospel Radio. That's WPGR Fridays at 11:30 a.m. So again, welcome again, Doc.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure, as I said, to be here with you ladies. And I've been watching some of the broadcasts that you've had that is available on the internet, on the World Wide Web. And I'm telling you, I am very impressive with what you all have done and how you are meeting the mission that you have intended from the very beginning in support of our community and those that are in business.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that, Doc. Well, lots to get to. So, Doc, we spoke earlier this month about the civil unrest in the nation. We're dealing with a pandemic, and it's so easy to get angry and become unfocused. So I immediately thought about Daniel Kushner's book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. So tell me, what role should faith play when your faith is being challenged?
Well, first of all, if I were to address what your theme is today, which is leading with faith over fear, there are two things. There are two keys about that theme, which is faith and fear. First of all, when we think about that, I hope you don't mind, I am a preacher, so I will probably be using quite a bit of scripture as it relates to this broadcast. We need to look at something that we can hold on to that is directly related to the faith scripture. And the one that comes to mind quickly is Hebrews 11:11 that talks about, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In this time of pandemic, you know, we need to be sure that we are holding on to that which we believe in. And there's a lot of people that do not necessarily, and I don't know how long I have to explain this, but I certainly want to cover as much as I can. There's a lot of things that people are going through today that they're not just not certain on how they're going to accomplish living life in a continuing basis. And part of that is having faith. The unknown is what we must be able to go through to realize that we should be able to come through this with flying colors. And then to be able to do that, we also must be able to trust in our Lord and Savior, which is our God, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, Doc. And the pandemic is one thing, but then we also have the police brutality. So what do you say to someone when they say, well, I've lost my cousin at the hands of someone that was also here to serve and protect? How do you address that?
Well, first of all, we got to realize that when people lose loved ones at the hand of the police, the first thing we got to realize that we're living in a day and a time where the police are operating from a different mindset. They're hired to serve and protect, but they have gotten to a point where they become complacent after being so much on a long term on their job, and they start serving themselves as opposed to serving the public. They go to work every day with the intent of self-preservation. And this is just from my personal viewpoint. And they go to work for self-preservation with the intent of being able to do their job, but they're actually seeking to try and make sure that they can get home at night as well. And unfortunately, we see them as an enemy as opposed to a public servant. They too are serving in a position where we have our elected officials to serve for us as public servants. So when we lose someone, we still have got to still do exactly what we've always done, and that is seek God for our comfort, peace, and understanding of the situation, because there are a lot of dynamics that fall within to play as it relates to our police serving the community.
Absolutely. And speaking of community, before I bring Kelly in, I want to ask you, you know, Black pastors have long led the charge for social injustice. So do you often feel the weight of it on your shoulders at times when we're dealing with these trying times?
Well, yes, we do. And I'll tell you that social injustice is something that every pastor, not necessarily Black pastor, but pastors across the country that have the responsibility to leading and guiding people in their daily and spiritual lives. Each one of us have a call and a mandate that we may be able to speak up for the social injustices of God's people. We got to realize that they're not our people, they're God's people. And for that reason, we must be able to speak to the leaders and touch the hearts of the leaders that we have put in office and remind them that they're not there for themselves, but they're there for to be public servants. That's part of the reason why the Word of God tells us that, just for example, the book of Jonah, the people had turned away from God. And part of the reason why they turned from God is because they got distracted about life situations. So the Lord sent Jonah off to Nineveh that he may be able to remind them. He sent the prophet that they may be able to be reminded by the Word of God so that they will be able to turn back to him and realize that they don't need to carry all the weight of injustices and things of that nature on their show. They can give it back to him. As soon as Jonah spoke to the people, they heard him and they turned back to God.
Absolutely. Kel, I'm going to let you take it from here.
Hey, thanks. And hi, Doc. How you doing?
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm well. Hey, listen, this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. And we wrestle in the Christian community with this very topic often. You know, Sunday morning is the most segregated time.
Absolutely.
You know, in America. And so what do you feel is the church's role? Dr. Paula White gets a lot of flack about being close to the president, and some of our other, you know, Christian leaders have gotten a lot of flack for going to the White House and meeting with the president. And, you know, we're so opposed to many of the things that have been said and done in the administration. And yet we're called to be there and to, like you said, to bring that spiritual leadership. So tell me, what do you think the church's role is?
Well, first of all, I'm going to speak in defense of those that have gone to the White House to speak to the president. And I really know that we look at them as if they were being on his side. Quite frankly, I don't think that the pastors that have gone to the White House and been invited to the White House have gone there with the intent of being on his side. But I'm sure they went with a different agenda, even though they may have said some things that we may not have liked. That appear to be in support of him. But I believe they really, what their intent and their true heart was to go there and speak to him, just as I was mentioning with the Jonah situation, to see if they can touch his heart and turn him to a mindset of believing and supporting the people of God, not just a one or two cultures within the United States, but all cultures within the state. Secondly, I want to point out that everyone is not in the same place spiritually. And we've got to realize that even though we have our elected officials in a place where they are leading people, many thousands of people, they're not necessarily spiritual men of God. That's what in which our spirituality is what our country has been founded upon. And when we find them, they find themselves dealing with an enemy. As you mentioned, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're dealing with an enemy and an adversary. He's not God's adversary. He is our adversary because God has no rivals. Our God stands alone in all that he does. So as we deal with this enemy, we don't know it. You know, we don't understand how enemy does because our level of spirituality has not reached that level. We haven't educated ourselves to be able to deal with the enemy that continue to prevail across the earth each and every day. He knows what his mission is, and he continues on his mission. But when we go to fight back, we've got to be able to deal with fighting back with him using the weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but the weapons of our warfare must be spiritual. And that's how we overcome our enemy. We have a silent enemy right now in these troubled times of this pandemic, and we don't understand that enemy. It's silent. We can't see him. We know that it's there. It's taking the lives of many of our people. And as a result of that, we're still trying to study what we must do to find out how that enemy is attacking us and how we can overcome it. The only way we're going to be able to do that is by turning to God and seeking his knowledge, because he says and he indicates that he's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. He knows all. He is everywhere at the same time, and he understands us. So when we look at our creator who has created all things, we need to understand that he also created good and evil. He has that's the reason why he put the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden. He knew that man would go to that tree, and he knew that we would disobey him. He knew that at that point we will find ourselves in the predicament that we're in today. This is not the first time we've been in this situation, and I'm sure we're going to be able to overcome it. I hope I'm not taking too much time, but I just got a little carried away with it in responding to this question. Flesh and blood is a challenge that we need to overcome, and we need to do that daily, individually, that we may be able to build a relationship with our Lord and Savior, and then come to the mindset and the heart to be able to deal with any other troubles that may come into our lives.
I love that. I love that because, you know, some people may think that when you look at the scripture that talks about flesh and blood, that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things in high places and principalities in high places. When they look at that scripture, they think, well, we shouldn't be out there protesting. We shouldn't be out there, you know, fighting what y'all fighting. All we need to do is pray and leave it in God's hands. But I'm with you. I would submit that absolutely we need to pray. Absolutely we need to be strong in our spiritual man. But then we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and act. Because there's an action that has to come behind.
Now, Kelly, if I may say this about prayer as well. Prayer is the key to our troubles, the key to overcome our troubles. There's something called the contractual counterfactual theory. I'm reading a book by currently called The Circle Maker. And quite frankly, he uses a terminology of counterfactual theory, which is basically that when we pray, we change the destiny of history. We don't realize we're doing so, but we actually change the destiny of history. And that's in every individual's life. We know that happens for sure. And just to give some simple situations, if you've ever prayed for anything and it came to pass quicker than you might have expected, that is because you prayed for it. If had you not prayed, then that situation would not have changed, and it would have taken another destiny or another turn. Something as simple as praying for a home or praying for a car, praying for a mate. And I can use that as a personal example. I did that myself. I prayed for a mate, and the next thing I know, there she was. I didn't realize it at the moment, but I know for a fact today that the woman that I'm with, that I've been married to for 4 decades now, is because I got down on my knees and was specific in my prayer on what I expected and what I hoped for, and my heart turned to God, and God heard my prayer. So he will hear our prayers as we pray concerning the change of this situation. What God is doing is he's placing his hand upon all of the lives of many people that we, and you mentioned before about Martin Luther King and what his intent was with his dream. His dream was that black men and white men and all men of all cultures will come together. And we're seeing that now today, just with the situation that sparked up from the George Floyd death, that we're seeing now that many cultures across the world are coming together for the same purpose. When we come together on one accord, the Lord lets us know that we are unstoppable, quite frankly. The only way we'll be stopped is by Him if we consistently do what's necessary to lift up His name and do so in a righteous manner.
I love that. And I have one more question before, and I'm going to toss it over to Annette because I could talk to you all day on this subject.
Well, you know, this is my subject. I love the Word of God, I tell you.
I know that's right. But, you know, you touched on something when you talked about a little bit earlier in your response when you talked about the pandemic. We're facing a racial pandemic. It's an enemy
Absolutely.
That we cannot see. We don't know how to fix it, how to solve it, et cetera. And like you said, prayer changes hearts. And that's what God does. God touches hearts. So I love that. And we as Christians, those of us who are believers, we're called to be the light. We're called to be the salt. We're called to be
Absolutely.
The light. We have dominion. So it's our responsibility to do what we're called to do in order to save this land and see that our land is healed. But Doc, one more question. Then again, I'm going to toss it over to Annette. Are you getting questions? Like, what are some of the questions, without breaking confidentiality, that you're getting from the community around injustice and some of the things that we're currently facing from the racial pandemic perspective?
The question that I've gotten on that's on the top of the list, and I think it really is a very important one, is why is the nation afraid of black men? That's a very powerful question, and it stands to reason that every time that we see situations like this, racial disparity comes across in our nation, it always appears to be affected by the catalyst of black men being in the middle of it and being the subject or the victim of the circumstances of the trial that we're going through. I've not yet seen, since in my lifetime, I might be wrong, where any other culture, man of any other culture, have caused such a nationwide, worldwide situation that sparks racism to rise up and require us to come together that we may be able to shout loud and spare not that the people will turn from their ways of abusing the people, men of other culture. It's always been the black man. And the question is, why is that? I believe is that because when we think about from the Word of God, that God had a chosen generation, a chosen people, and that we are considered to be royal priesthood, quite frankly. That's what the other cultures are seeing in us, and they don't desire for us to have that. In addition to that, we have our adversary, the devil, doesn't want us to have it either, which is the reason why we rise up. And the evidence of that is shown just by the history of the book, which is the Bible, that the Garden of Eden was placed in the motherland, which we know of as Africa. And when we think about that land, those were people of color. And those people of color were loved by God. Even now, you'll find that even men of white men that are pastors and prophets will tell you now, as they understand this history, they understand that the black man is intended to be the catalyst for the end time in which God will show his hand and show his love for the people of the world. And it's going to be led by the effort of men who are of a color, who have, I want to use the terminology, of a color of another nation, not white, not Asian, of anything of that nature, but men of color will be the catalyst that brings in the end times. and God will show his love for us as a result of that. Our job is to seek and save the lost. Tell everyone about the goodness of the Lord and encourage them to surrender their lives to Christ.
Amen and amen. Oh, that's some powerful stuff. Listen, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to catch our breath. This has just been tremendous, Dr. Goodwine. Thank you so much for being on with us. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back in the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge. We're speaking with Dr. Goodwine, and he will be back with us with our co-host, Annette Gomez, shortly.
When you leave your business, do you leave the door unlocked? When facing legal matters in the business world, do not leave your business unprotected. There is help when it comes to business contracting, even collecting past due receivables from clients. An experienced attorney is critical to resolving disputes. Don't do it alone.
At SJS Law Firm, their mission is to partner with clients to help them achieve the business of their dreams and plans with timely and strategic legal advice. Their legal counselors and advisors committed, providing individualized service that is tailored to the unique needs of your business. SJS Law Firm provides the legal support you need to move forward with confidence. Secure the knowledge that you have a legal team watching out for your best interests. Don't leave the door open. Call SJS Law Firm, serving small business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits. Call 202-505-5309. That's 202-505-5309. Or find them at the sjslawfirm.com.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where four unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us in the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, I'm one of your co-hosts this evening, Annette Gomez, and we're talking about the power of prayer over fear. We're talking to Dr. Clement Goodwine this evening. And Doc, before we went to break, we were talking about Black men rising up. And I just wanted you to touch on that just for a moment, because I love that theme, rising up and where we need to go from here.
Well, thank you, Annette. I want you to know that I believe that certainly Black men are probably one of the most, I'm going to call them some of the greatest men on the planet. And the reason why we mention that is because we have strength. When we go through troubled times, we go through troubled times with greater strength than I've ever seen. And being a Black man myself, I've gone through many troubled times, but I can tell you that when you're providing leadership, education, and understanding, one of the things that we must go through or we must do during those times is still remain humble. We Black men seem to be closer to God than any other man I've seen, although we've seen other men of other cultures do the same. And that is what God wants anyway. He wants everyone to be able to come to him. The strength of a Black man in the sight of God is something that we must show not only to God, but to our people. Showing that humility, a humble man is a strong man. So, and some of the things that we must go ahead on and address as it relates to how we will be able to be overcome the challenges of not only of this time, but times to come, is that when I first came to Christ, I found myself having to have to establish a relationship with him that was like no other. I knew I had a relationship with family, and all of us go through that. I knew I had a relationship with my wife. I knew I had a relationship with children. But when I decided to have a relationship with God, I had to do something. And one of the things that we must all do to be sure that we have a strong relationship with God, our God, the creator of heaven and earth, is that we must hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against him. Until we come to the knowledge of understanding God's word, place it in our heart, and our heart and our minds are the two things, two elements or two organs within our one fearfully and wonderfully made body that we must be able to transition to be able to have a relationship with our Lord.
You hit it on the nail on the head, because let's close out the broadcast talking about that connection. The closest and biggest connection of all is prayer. So I just want you to recap and talk about how powerful that is when you're going through these times, Doc.
Absolutely. Prayer is our communication with God. And if we're going to be able to have direct communication that he might hear us, we might as well use the code that he gave us, that we may be able to understand him and he may be able to understand us. And that is the word of God. So when we pray, we need to be specific. We need to be diligent. We need to do it on a regular and daily basis. We need to make sure that our relationship in prayer lifts up to God. One of the keys to prayer is that you have to pray with Scripture. If we speak to God in his language, he will hear us. If we speak to God in any other language where we're just praying from a standpoint of just using general words and general terminology, those prayers are just hitting the ceiling. But when we speak to God, it penetrates the walls and penetrates the atmosphere. So we lift up the name of the Lord today in all of the scriptures that he provided for us when we seek to pray.
Amen, Doc. Come back and see us really soon, okay? I think we need this. I think we need this on a weekly basis. We need to do it daily, but we need you to come on back and see the Lord. How about that?
Well, if at least join my show. I want you to know, listen to me on Fridays at 11:30 on the World Power Gospel Radio Station, the station that reaches beyond the nation. And we look forward to having you come in and even if ask a question if necessary. Thank you all again, ladies. I am truly honored to have been able to spend this time with you on the Elevation Lounge. So thank you very much for having me on.
That is perfect. And we were listening to Dr. Clement Goodwine. He's with the Southern Baptist Church Praise and Worship Center in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much again for joining us, Doc, and to the rest of our co-hosts, Kelly Walker, Tatanya Holman, and Shankara McNair-Jones. Thank you so much, Doc. Have a beautiful evening, and we'll see you again.
You do the same. God bless you all.
Thank you. And that's going to do it for us in the lounge, everybody. Join us next week. We'll be hitting the August slot for some more hot topics. Thanks for joining us. Good evening.
Now let's get out there, y'all, and elevate, 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 elevate.